Hello, everybody. Please allow myself to introduce myself. I'm your host, Captain Marvelous, and welcome to the 61st episode of I'm Batman, the podcast, the show where I chronologically review each and every episode of the 1992 Batman the Animated Series. It is a new season. We have an all-new format. We're starting off with the Batcave Archives, and to do that, let me introduce you to my new host. I have nothing. It's all the same as it was before. Like, you got that little new song at the intro. Let's dance the dance. They dance in France. Let's get to it. This week's episode is titled Shadow of the Bat, Part 1. Original air date, September 13, 1993. The title card is a silhouette of a female with Batman's cape, and it looks pretty darn cool. We start off with some drugs or weapons smuggling going down in the train yards, and the two men doing the crime are startled by Rupert Thorne, who's there to just check out the view, I guess. Gordon and the cops show up, and they surround the place, and Rupert Thorne says, "He can't be seen there," and he runs away. And why are you there to begin with? You weren't doing anything. You just showed up. A shootout occurs between the cops and the two criminals as Thorne escapes via the roof. Batman shows up, and he quite easily apprehends Thorne. Well, I mean, as easily as having to dodge several bullets shot at him at point-blank range. But still, it's Batman. That's a big nothing for him. Gordon, Bullock, Montoya, and some new guy named Gil show up. They find Thorne hanging upside down from a chimney. We cut to Bruce Wayne watching TV as he sees a report of Thorne's arrest, and we learn that Gil is the new deputy commissioner. The news reports that Gil has busted three major crime lords in as many months thanks to help from an informant. So Gil is what you imagine a detective from an old crime novel would look like. He's young, wears a suit and a hat with a trench coat like all the time, and I bet he calls all the girls dames, or I bet you he calls the hot ones tomatoes. Like, "Hey, look at that tomato. Check out her gams. Eh?" That's how he talks. Does not talk like that. Bruce is suspicious of the informant that Gil is using, and Alfred is worried as well.
"I'd love to know who this mysterious informant is. This is the third gang lord Mason's brought down in as many months."
"Yes, it's quite alarming. If this continues, you might even be forced into taking a vacation."
Oh, Alfred. We'll be right back after these commercial messages. We cut to Jim Gordon's house, which is huge! Holy crap! He even has a gym inside! So we see Gordon with his daughter, Barbara, as she practices gymnastics, and has this to say.
"You know, Dad, if you and Gil keep nailing bad guys like this, people will start thinking you two are Batman and Robin."
That's my Babs. We'll return after these brief messages. Gordon, for some reason, wants Gil to do his daughter. I mean, he's all like, "Oh, hey, that Gil's hot, huh? Sure like to see him doing you. Wouldn't you like to have him inside it?" Okay, he doesn't say that. But he seems pretty pushy about having Babs date Gil, and I just find that weird that a dad wants to marry off his daughter. Anyway, Gil shows up, and he's there to arrest Jim Gordon. Gil is arresting Gordon under charges of accepting bribes from Rupert Thorne for years. He says he's sorry. He says he's sorry, but he's just there to do his job. And then he says he's sorry to Barb. Barb? Okay, you know something is fishy with this guy when he calls her Barb. No one calls her that. We all know it's Babs. Babs Bunny. Or just Babs. But still, no one calls Barbara Gordon Barb. Gordon is arrested and there's like a whole bunch of reporters there. Why would they know this is going on unless like Gil told them, "Hey, media, I'm about to go arrest Jim Gordon. Want to come along?" So Gordon is arrested. And we get a weird short scene where Bruce reads the newspaper about Gordon's arrest, and then he gets angry. And I call it weird because nothing really happens. We just cut to him reading the newspaper, getting angry, and then we cut to the courthouse where Babs is talking to the new DA, district attorney named Janet. And Janet looks like your stereotypical uppity class person. She has like weird, like cat-eyed glasses. Her hair is up and she seems all like, oh my, type of person. She says that there's plenty of evidence showing that Gordon is guilty of accepting bribes. Gordon is denied bail, and the police department is holding a rally to free Gordon. It was Gil's idea, and he says that all the top cops will be there. Remember that. It's a big rally to free Jim Gordon, that all the top cops in the city are going to be there. All of them. Babs says that she knows who would be a showstopper if she could get him. So, of course, she's talking about the Heartbreak Kid himself, Mr. WrestleMania Ace, the showstopper, Shawn Michaels. I think I'm cute. I know I'm cute. It's exactly how the song goes. We cut to Batman breaking into the evidence room and stealing evidence, because I'm sure that can only help Jim Gordon. Batman shoots a radio transmitter into Gordon's cell, which is like the size of an iPhone. Seriously, this thing's huge. Gordon grabs it and he talks to Batman. Batman says the evidence is fake. They're forgeries. And Batman has heard word of a new crime syndicate, so he's going to check this out. Gordon asks Batman to look after Babs. Batman goes to check on Babs, and she wants him to appear at the rally, but Batman won't do it. He says he has better things to do than appear at a rally. Babs then says Batman will be there one way or another. So I guess she's going to turn evil and try to kidnap Batman so he can appear at the rally. That's exactly what I think is going to happen. We cut to a hotel, which is split in half, with one half being super fancy and the other half being all burnt and run down. Gee, I wonder whose hideout this is. It's split in half. Split personality? Oh, it must be the ventriloquist. We go inside the hotel to a figure hidden in the shadows, instructing his henchmen to disrupt the rally. Gee, I wonder who the person with the gravelly voice who sounds exactly like Two-Face could be. We go to the Batcave, where Batman has disguised himself as Matches Malone, a street thug persona he uses to go undercover. Robin is there, and Robin wants Batman to wear a receiver, but Batman says that it will be spotted too easily, so he won't. And then Robin whines, "But Batman, I want to do something." So Batman sends Robin to appear at the rally for Gordon. We cut to the rally where we see Batman on the rooftops. Like, what? I thought he wasn't going to go to the rally at all. Robin appears and he's ready to show himself when he spots Batman swinging across the rooftop. The crowd sees Batman and this excites them and makes them think Gordon is innocent. Why, no one who is a friend of Batman can commit a crime. Batman leaves, and he looks a bit different. Maybe it's the fact that he grew breasts. Oh, wait, no. I know what it is. The animators drew his eyes a bit different. Ignore the breast part. Batman steps into the light, and it's New York City! Barbara Gordon. Yep. She's dressed in a homemade Batman suit, and I'm getting all kinds of confused signals down there. As Babs removes her costume in an alley, she sees a car burn rubber toward the crowd. The car starts shooting and everyone runs. Babs runs after the car and pulls down a giant hanging banner over it, causing it to crash. And boy, it's a good thing the rally was filled with the city's top cops, because now they ran over and apprehended these criminals. Oh wait, there's no cops in sight, the men just get out of the car. Robin chases after Babs and she runs away, and he grabs her by the back of the mask, but it rips and reveals her long, luscious red hair. And then Robin says, "A girl?" Reporter Summer Gleason sees this and grabs a camera and records Babs. So, okay, it's not going to be a big spoiler that this is Batgirl. But, so if Robin hadn't said, "A girl?" in front of Summer Gleason, would she have been called Batwoman? Because they call her Batgirl after this, and I'm guessing it's just because of what Robin said. The criminals grab machine guns, but they are taken out by the top cops of the city before they can shoot Babs. Nope, no top cops, or even bottom of the barrel cops, for that matter. The criminals shoot at her, but she uses her gymnastics to dodge the bullets. Robin disarms them, but the men run away, and Babs chases after one of them down an alley as Robin chases the other one down the street. Babs catches up to the guy and fights him. She takes off his mask and gets a good look at his face, but the guy smacks her into some garbage cans and gets away. Robin shows up and Babs is gone. So wait, Robin didn't catch his bad guy either? What a maroon!
Great, she's gone too! Funny, I don't remember a Batgirl in our little club.
What a dick! We'll return after a word from our sponsor. We go back to Wayne Manor, where Dick Grayson is watching the news on DVR. Gee, that must have been some amazing technology back in 1993. Or he has Alfred tape record all the news all the time. Dick notices that Gil ducked from the gunfire way before they were even shot at. Almost as if he was expecting it. Babs is at the police station, and she looks up photos of criminals in the archives. And she finds the man that she saw at the rally. She goes to Gil's house, and there in the house with Gil is the same man she saw! Babs says that she just wanted to check in on Gil, but she has to leave to go see her father. We cut to a pool hall where Matches Malone is at. He listens in on a conversation that the same criminal Barbara saw is having on the phone with his boss. Well, he's not actually listening in, he's reading his lips! So I guess Batman really did learn a lot from that ventriloquist case, didn't he? Batman, or should I say Matches Malone, follows the guy to the half-bad, half-good hotel. He climbs up the side, and when he tries to open the window, he is electrocuted. We cut back to Babs in her room, with her teddy bear, Whoopi, where she gets the idea that if Batman won't help, she will have to do it on her own. Back to the hotel, Matches is captured, and he says he heard about the new gang and wanted to join. We finally see who the gang leader is. The guy says that he can double his take working for him. So the guy uses double or pair puns, has a half good, half damaged hotel, and sounds exactly like Two-Face. Who's that Pokemon?
Quack, quack.
It's the Penguin. No, it's Two-Face. I don't know why that was supposed to be a mystery. Seriously, it's pretty dumb. Two-Face says that Matches can join his gang if the coin flip lands on the good side. He flips the coin and it lands on the bad head, and Matches is killed. The henchmen cock their guns and they just shoot him in the face. No. Actually, Matches Malone is hit in the head with a shotgun. Then why the hell did the henchmen like cock their guns? Seriously, Two-Face is like, if it lands on the good side, you join the gang. Lands on the bad side, and it's the last thing you'll ever see. And then you hear the guns go like, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. But then they hit him in the head. So, okay. We cut to somebody breaking into Gordon's office. The person grabs smoke bombs and a huge grappling hook from the desk drawers, which I guess is just something Gordon keeps in his desk. We hear the person talk.
So Batman can't help me? Fine. In that case, let's see what Batgirl can do.
To be continued. As the title referenced, this is a two-parter, so I can't really go into much detail without spoiling the second part. Some notes on this episode, though. The animation is pretty good. The story suffers from the same thing that two-parters always do on this show, and that is that it's never a good standalone episode. They always seem to give their all into one episode, but not the other. This episode really wasn't so bad. It was setting up for the second part. Nothing really horrible about it, but it's kind of like hearing a joke without a punchline. You have all this setup, but you don't know, you don't get yet to see what's happening. And due to the way we rank episodes here on this show, based on a single episode alone and not the story as a whole, it might suffer from that on our Batcave archive listing. This was a nice introduction to Barbara Gordon. We have seen her before And we got to see how smart she is in the story Heart of Steel. And I really do like the fact that she's going to be a bigger part of the show now. So this episode builds on that character. And she is a very likable character. She's not really annoying or anything like that. I think she really does add a lot, giving us just that, just a new perspective and a new point of view on these episodes. So I really do like that Batgirl is becoming a part of the show.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
All right, everybody, it's time for the Batcave Archives. This is the part of the show where we rank each episode we have reviewed thus far. This is episode 61, meaning we have ranked 60 episodes. At number one, we have the episode Almost Got 'Em, the episode where the villains recount their Batman stories. At number 60, we have a new number 60 from last week. For many, many weeks, Prophecy of Doom, the episode where Batman fights an old man who pretends to know the future, was always our lowest ranking. Last week, we got a new number 60 with Fire from Olympus, the episode where Batman fights some dummy who thinks he's Zeus. Where does this episode rank? As I mentioned in the show notes, it's all set up. It's all set up with no payoff. That really does lower it a lot more than it should, because we don't get anything. We don't get to see any resolution as to what all of this is leading up to. So it does suffer a lot from that. We get some good action scene, the whole scene with Robin and Batgirl taking out the bad guys. I think that's actually pretty cool. I really like the chemistry between Robin and Batgirl. I find Robin to be an annoying character, especially when he's with Batman, because Batman is not the talkative type of character, so he's not going to be making jokes along with Robin. But he works really well with Batgirl because they can both bounce stuff off each other. She's pretty jokey herself, so it really works well. I really do like the chemistry between them here. In the middle of the list, right at number 30, we have the episode Off Balance. Not one of my favorite episodes, but it does introduce us to Talia al Ghul, and I really do like her a lot. Robin's Reckoning Part 2, that episode actually suffered from what I mentioned in this episode, in that in Part 2, Part 1 to that episode was really, really good with Robin's origin. Part 2 kind of just rushed it. I actually would rank this a bit lower. We have at number 40, Zatanna, the episode with the magic girl. I like that one. Birds of a Feather, that one's actually probably Penguin's best episode, which is the episode where he's trying to fit into high society, but they're just playing him. I really like that one. The Clock King. I really don't know why I ranked that episode so high. I think the Clock King is an idiot. That's one of the dumbest villains in the show. What was I thinking, ranking it so high? But that's what I thought when I did the episode. That's where it's going to stay. I'm not moving it. Is this episode better than that? Sadly, no. Clock King is a complete story. I'm sorry, I'm just rambling on about that point. I'm really just trying to figure out where to put this. So I'd rather just ramble my thoughts than just have you sitting here in complete silence. Just dead air until I figure out where this is going to go. The episode What Is Reality is at number 50. That is the episode where Riddler traps Jim Gordon in a virtual reality world, which is kind of a really dumb episode. And I think this is kind of a good spot. After that one, we have Day of the Samurai, which I really think Kyodai Kane is another lame villain. He's just really boring. I think I'm going to rank this episode around that area. Actually, I do think this episode is more enjoyable than What Is Reality, just based on Barbara Gordon being one of the lead characters in it. She is very likable, and she really, really helps this episode move along a lot. So our new number 50, Shadow of the Bat, Part 1. Alright everybody, that's going to be it for this week. Remember, if you want to see that full list, among other things, go to Facebook and join our I'm Batman the Podcast group, become a member. Thank you all for listening, and remember, if you have any questions, suggestions, or thoughts on the reviewed episodes, or the show in general, send them to captain_marvelous1@yahoo.com. I have been your host, Captain Marvelous, and remember, no matter where you're from, no matter who you are, we are Batgirl.